Are you good?
I am good.
Good. Vicky is good.
I'm good.
She is good. Vicky Walker is our guest on the Let's Go Eat show. And we're, of course, once again, he said redundantly, recording at The Daily, 222 South Main Street in downtown Salt Lake City. A wonderful place for lunch and for brunch on Saturday and Sunday. And so come to The Daily. You will like it. Downtown Salt Lake. Now, Vicky, is this the first time you've been here, Vicky?
It is.
Cool here,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's very cool.
We've ordered some sandwiches.
Yeah.
And Clint, one of the managers here, will bring us a sandwich, and we'll enjoy that while we're talking to Vicky Walker. So, Vicky... Vicky had started an organization called Circle the Wagons.
Yep.
And I guess we should begin by why you did that. tell people your story a little bit, if you would.
I should have the cliff notes on this, shouldn't I?
Well, I'll keep you on track.
Okay.
Don't worry.
Okay, great. So in 2007, my husband Jeff and my son AJ were heading to Trolley Square to get some last-minute Valentine's gifts. And for those that have been in Salt Lake for a while know that the Trolley Square shooting happened that night. And my husband lost his life. He was one of the first victims of that horrible evening. And AJ was standing next to him, and he received severe injuries as a result of the spray.
Mm-hmm.
So,
life-altering injuries.
Oh, without question. Yeah.
And your husband's name was
Jeff.
Mm-hmm. And other people. I forget how many. Four other people lost their lives.
Yeah,
in that.
Five were injured.
Yeah,
or six.
At Trolley, and you know. Thank you, Clint.
Yum.
We're having sandwiches here at The Daily, and it's I think it's nice that you can talk about it, and you can also go yum when you see a sandwich. And it's been a long time, but it was a horrible thing to get through, I'm sure.
It was surreal.
And I know we've talked about it.
Yeah, but. We did. We've done some pretty amazing PTSD therapy that has helped us move forward in a maybe more healthy way.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
It must be awful, though, anytime there's a mass shooting like there has been recently.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I would say up until maybe 3 years ago, every time there was a mass shooting, the news stations would call us and want to come interview us in our home.
Yeah.
And, you know, doing something like that takes its toll on you. And my youngest children asked if we could maybe take a break from that. So we haven't been talking to the press as much every mm-hmm. time that happens.
No.
But, you know, in 2007, I think Trolley Square was one of the top five situations.
Really?
And there were... Mm. Five that lost their life,
mm-hmm.
and now we don't even blink at five. I mean, now it's 25, 30. I mean,
yeah. Hideous.
Yeah.
People, they can sort of imagine what it's like to try and get through that stuff initially, but they really don't have any idea, do they?
No. I mean, I always say, how do you prepare for something you have no idea what to prepare for? I mean, you're just literally, you're just functioning on a shock. You're in a shock space, and you don't mm-hmm. know what questions to ask. You don't know what to do. You mm-hmm. don't know where to turn. And that's kind of what the impetus was behind us starting Circle of Wagons, is when you're at your highest level of trauma is when you have to make some of the most important decisions. And, you know, when you're in a high level of trauma for the first 96 hours, you cannot make decisions.
And then, but the high level of trauma then goes on. I mean, it lessens a little bit, but it affects your life because I know it affected your life too in the sense of people taking advantage of you and all of that bullshit.
Yeah. You're just trying to band-aid your life back together and hold on to what you have, and Yeah.
I mean, it's just hideous to think that there are people out there, and you hear about it after any kind of a event like this, or mm-hmm. a hurricane, mm-hmm. or something like that. There are the vultures who kind of move in and start trying to prey on mm-hmm. the victims.
Yeah.
And see what they can get out of the whole situation. And I know that happened to you. We don't need to go into the details of that.
And yeah, I was pretty vulnerable and it was, I felt like I was a pretty smart person, but when your back is up against a wall, you kind of make decisions out of desperation, and that's not always the best thing.
Yeah, and you're the primary earner of your life is gone.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Your standard of living starts to drop, and
yeah,
medical bills
very different.
What the hell? I mean, you think there ought to be some sort of a system or a standard. Well, first of all, we ought to have single payer health care, and but when people are victims of these just random, awful crimes, there ought to be some system that kicks into place that says, you don't have to worry about any medical bills. You don't have to worry about this.
There is, and that was...
A little bit?
Yeah,
really?
There is. It's called the Crime Victims Reparation Fund, and it's federally funded and state funded. And if you're a crime victim, an innocent crime victim, they kick into action for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they can't take care of all your medical bills, but they can certainly help with and defray some of the costs that are associated with it. But we were at the U, and I remember they were talking to us about Jeff's insurance. And by the way, he was holding the insurance. I was independent, and our insurance was canceled within 24 hours because he had died. And so we were clicked onto COBRA right after that. And the U came to us and said, you need to sign up for COBRA, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But the upshot in this is that they came to us and said, whatever your insurance doesn't pay with regard to AJ, which it was hundreds of thousands of dollars for his medical care, he says, we will write off. So
there you go. That's good.
Yeah. Kudos to the U.
Yeah. So you started this group, Circle the Wagons, how long after?
Probably 2 years. We tried very hard to replicate our old life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you soon realize it's just not going to happen. And I happened to be watching TV one night, and I was in the upper channels. In fact, it was E! Entertainment, and I don't ever watch that channel, but I was channel hopping. And I don't want to be accused of being addicted to the Kardashians.
Even though you might be.
I know, no.
Okay. All right.
Bravo TV is my candy. Mm. Anyway, and they were showing the towers of Trolley Square, and you can imagine my shock when I saw them. You know, they were superimposing pictures of all of the victims from that evening, and there was Jeff, and they're talking about him. And the narrative of this story was not in my hands, and they were saying things that were true. I mean, you know, but it hit me that I needed to be more of a voice for my family and for Jeff and for AJ, and not let others tell our story. And so that's when I decided that I could maybe take my experience and turn it into something that would help others.
And that is Circle the Wagons.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit then about, I mean, you had no experience doing anything like this. How do you,
no.
How does one start a nonprofit aid group?
Yeah. Well, you know, I turned the TV off and I just started writing down what had happened to us,
mm-hmm.
and how we could have changed that for somebody else. And I think the thing that really stood out for me is, well, Jeff, I still had not been informed that he was gone. I didn't find out until the following morning, about 3 o'clock in the morning, and this had happened at 6 o'clock, the day in the 6 o'clock p.m.
So the authorities didn't let you know that he had died?
Well, the crime scene was so big, and they were doing the best that they could, but it was so big, and there were so many victims, and there were so many people, and it took a while. And
you just stayed home. You didn't rush down there.
I was at the hospital with AJ.
Oh.
Yeah. He'd been taken into surgery, so I'm sitting in a waiting room with a lot of our friends, mm-hmm. and it's I think it was around 12 or 1, and a very nice woman walks in. She says, "Could I meet with you?" Well, what do you think? I'm in total shock, yeah. and I'm yes. Still haven't heard about Jeff. And she sits down with me, and she was very kind, and she has a file folder, and she pulls this file folder out, and she starts going through these papers and saying, you know, this is, you need to know this, you need to know this. Mm-hmm. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm just glazed over. And I take the file folder, thank her for talking to me, and I look in it, and there's just page after page of information. And when you are in your highest level of trauma, you are not going to absorb any of that information. It's just like it just goes in one ear and out the mm-hmm. other. And I don't know what happened to the file folder. It just got left on the floor when we moved waiting rooms, and it was just too much, too overwhelming, and I left it. So that was the thing that kind of stuck out in my mind, that there was some information in there that could have really helped me, mm-hmm. but I couldn't absorb it. So
that's one of the things that you wanted to do, is help other people who go through trauma mm-hmm. kind of, I guess, learn how to hang on to what yep. they need to hang on to.
Yep. Right. We wanted to give them enough information that they could get started on the pathway to, I don't want to, not healing, but on the pathway to moving forward, mm-hmm. you know, through the process.
So who do you turn to start doing this kind of thing? You have no experience doing it. Who do you turn to?
Well, I actually started interviewing victim advocates, and Chris Burbank was, was the police chief at the time, and I'd reached out to him, and he was amazing, and brought to him my idea, met with his victim advocate, Wendy Isom, mm-hmm. and it started to take some form, and we worked with a therapist and with first responders in what would be the best way that we could get this information to them and have them not lose it, throw it away, or, you know, hang on to it.
Mm-hmm. So. And what kind of information is ultimately in something like that?
You know, if you or I were to read it and we're not in trauma, we would read the little tag that we have on the side and go, well, anybody would know that. Well, yeah, anybody that is clear thinking would know that. Mm-hmm. But when you're in trauma, you don't. So we call the front of the tag a 96-hour survival guide. It was later that I was attending some classes on trauma that they said the first 96 hours mm-hmm. are when you're at your highest level of trauma. So I thought, wow, because that's what we yeah. called our tag. And we just put information on the front, like get a family spokesperson or somebody that can walk through the process with you. If you try and do it on your own, you will never remember and you're too traumatized. So we just kind of go through a little checklist of things. And then
this is something that Circle the Wagon has put
uh-huh.
together.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. And then on the back, we have just a cursory overview of really important resources for them, like Crime Victims mm-hmm. Reparation Fund. Mm-hmm. On the front, we say, ask for a victim advocate. I'd never even heard of a victim advocate before, so I didn't know what to ask for one.
Sure. So now and by the way, feel free to take a bite of your sandwich.
I'm not biting. No? I'm going to treat.
You're afraid.
I'm
afraid to bite into it and talk. would you hand me one of those napkins, though, by the way?
Yeah.
This is a delicious egg salad sandwich I'm having here and trying to sort of sneakily eat while we're talking. Oh, you're going to have a piece of bacon, though.
I'm going for the bacon. Can I dip it in your egg salad sandwich?
If you'd like, you can. So you put together this information and you've kind of honed it and gotten it to where you
right.
like it. How do you disseminate it to crime victims?
Well, first responders. Mm. So victim advocates. Mm-hmm. They are usually the first ones on the scene. Actually, the police officers are, but then they will call the victim advocates, mm. or hopefully they will call the victim advocates. We also have some in hospital emergency rooms, because that was our first touch point with anybody that could have yeah. helped us was an emergency room. And then we are also wanting to meet with chaplains and also have them be carriers of our cans of comfort. So anyone that is a first responder or will meet with the victim and their family within the first few hours is who we want to mm-hmm. have a relationship with. And
tell people what the cans of comfort are.
Well, I will back up just a little bit. Okay. And we were getting an award from the district attorney's office, and a couple of police officers saw our little display of our, you know, cans.
Mm-hmm.
They're full of lemon drops for no other purpose other than we wanted to put something in it. It's a delivery system, so mm-hmm. it creates an interest, and people are going to keep it around because they'll open it up and use it.
Mm-hmm.
And they saw our little display, and they said, I don't know why she got this award. It's just cans of candy. And I was like, oh, my gosh, no. It's so much more. A, we put it in this format because it's going to create interest, and the family will take it with them wherever they go.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the reason. So we wanted to reach out to the families with information, with guidelines for the first hours, and we also wanted to let them know that the community cares about them. And mm-hmm. we have a letter inside that talks about our situation and the fact that there are many people that care. That's why we call it a can of comfort, but it's basically a delivery system mm-hmm. of really vital information.
So there's information yeah. in there yeah. and lemon drops.
Yep, yep.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot of brain power that went into that, why we did it that way. Mm-hmm. We wanted to stay as far away from a folder as possible. And so we wanted to put it in a format that would create some kind of mm-hmm. interest and comfort. Mm-hmm. So
who helped you develop that?
Me.
You?
Me.
You're the one who helped you develop it. Very good. And but you must have run it by people too, to say, is this a good thing for people?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have to put a plug in. We have a great, great, great a friend of mine, Linda Stipik, and her son, Brett, did all of the graphics and helped us develop how that would look. And like I said, Chief Burbank, Laura mm-hmm. Jones, who was
with... Oh, yeah, Laura.
Yeah, Laura mm-hmm. is a very good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. She's over at KRCL.
Mm-hmm.
She helped me a lot. And then Wendy Isom.
She's a smart woman.
Yeah, she's great. Mm-hmm. She's great.
Yeah. I used to work with Laura years ago.
Yeah.
So, putting these cans together is not inexpensive, I would think.
No, it's about $6 a can, and mm-hmm. we keep being told, well, don't put the little token on it. Oh, no, did you know we have a little key mm-hmm. that we attach to the side that says hope and strength? And I hear back from the victim advocates that 90% of the time, the individual that they're working with has it on their keychain, around their neck, or in their pocket.
Yeah.
So we wanted to reach out and show support and comfort and give information at all different levels.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
How do you determine who gets them? Or do you determine? Who does determine it?
Yeah. When we deliver them to a police department, when we gave them to West Valley, our only criteria is that they give it to innocent victims of violent crime. So if they are able to use Crime Victims Reparation Fund,
mm-hmm.
Then they will get our can. But we did find out that they were being handed out on several other situations where there was a death or mm-hmm. there was trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And we just said, you know, hand them out at your discretion, and they do.
And do you feel pretty good about the fact that they're being handled appropriately?
I think we could do a better job.
Hmm.
I do. We manufacture probably 800 to 1,000 a year, and there's a lot more people that are out there that need to...
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. And we don't have it with every police department. We have to make sure that they'll make a commitment to us and mm-hmm. make sure that they're handed out. We don't want to give them...
And have them just sit in a closet.
And just sit in a closet, yeah. Right, right. Yeah. We have them at Rape Recovery, mm-hmm. and they hand those out as well. Mm-hmm. So.
So there is some funds are needed to keep this kind of an effort going.
Oh, my gosh, yes. It sounds like those Facebook fundraisers are wonderful, but they don't sustain us.
it's not a large organization. You probably run pretty lean.
We do.
But you do need to raise money, and that's where that's where I'm going to come in and help a little bit. There's a fundraiser. It's not the first fundraiser you've done.
No, it's the seventh.
Seventh.
Yeah, we took a 2-year hiatus because, you know, I was just plain old tired. And I have an amazing board this this time, and everyone is really stepping up and and I've always had good boards, but I've got a lot of young people that are really, really interested in helping, and this is awesome. Yeah.
So it's on the fundraiser is on the
Friday the 6th.
6th of September.
At Public.
The coffee house.
Yeah, over on West Temple.
I've been there a couple of times. I had not even known it was there, and then somebody said meet me here for a business meeting, and I went okay, and went there, and nice people, very nice place, and they have a really good peanut butter and banana and honey sandwich.
Oh, my gosh. Of course you would know
Open-face sandwich. A big hunk of bread, and then they slather it with peanut butter. And then they very artistically put banana slices, like in the shape of a flower, on it or something. And then they drizzle it with honey. And
oh
it's really
gosh.
Good.
I'm at Eating Adventures with Bill.
Yeah, well, it is the Let's Go Eat show. So,
and I'm not eating, but I'm going to.
You will.
Yes, I will.
So... the fundraiser is on the 6th of September, and I'm going to MC it along with a surprise guest. Okay.
Yes.
I'm glad you said that.
Yes.
You should have told me that because I almost said it. You should have told me that before we started talking. You know that now.
I don't know. When's this going to air? Maybe you can say it.
This will be next week.
Oh, okay.
Next week.
Well, we have a surprise guest.
Okay. And so tell people what else is going to be going on besides a surprise guest and me.
Well, we got Beauty. Tammy Taylor is a very good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. They're over on 9th. Mm-hmm. And 21st South, she is donating a henna artist, a henna tattoo artist. We have a unicorn healer, which is awesome. I know,
What's
so excited.
That?
Her name is Ashley. She does chakra clearings, and she also will do unicorn readings, which are basically positive only. If she sees something really horrific, she will not tell you.
She just gets a really sick look on her face and then says, oh, it's nothing.
Her face will just change. No,
it's not cancer.
Oh, my gosh.
I promised you, it's not cancer.
You're all good. Your eye will heal.
Yeah. don't worry.
So it's going to be, and we have a great 80s band, 80s and 90s cover band called Timeless, and I'm kind of excited. And so we have some really fun things, and then I've got two amazing women, Melanie and Kim, that are taking over Silent Auction, and they have brought some... I mean, everyone says our Silent Auction's really good. This one, I saw it, is amazing.
This one is really good.
It's really good. And we're just going to have a... And then I have a bunch of my friends. We had some sleigh dancers coming, but Rosie Winters hurt her back, and so they're not going to be able to be there. So I have my fabulous friends that are dressing up, and they are going to get the audience dancing and having a good time.
And how do people get tickets? Because the tickets sales support Circle the Wagons, and so that's why you want to do it. How do people get tickets?
You can go to our website, which is www.circle-the-wagons.org. And if you go to events or donate, it'll be right there. And then I also wanted to mention that Five Wives Ogden,
Vodka
are donating all of our vodka for the event. They were awesome.
Yeah, they're very good about doing stuff like
so
that.
So impressed.
Yeah.
So it's going to be, I mean, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be fun. It's not going to be your normal sit down and let's just enjoy the evening. I think we want people up and dancing and getting tattoos and... It's going to be fun.
All right. Well, if you and I'll just tell jokes and.
Well, we're going to introduce our new program. So.
Oh, is that a secret too? Right now.
Well, no, I'll go ahead and tell you.
Okay.
We were raising funds for our program that is called Sudden and Unexpected Death. That sounds very ominous, doesn't it?
But yes.
I know. We found that with Circle the Wagons, we were so granular in our reach.
Mm-hmm.
It was crime victims.
Yeah.
And I do a lot of work in the LGBTQ community. These are my beautiful friends. Mm-hmm. And we've had more suicides in this community that is heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
So myself and a friend, Allison Dusen, are QPR trained, and we are doing a lot of suicide training and suicide prevention training. And we thought Circle the Wagons needs to get involved. And so we are going to be developing a tag that will help families through an unexpected and sudden death. Yeah.
Yeah, someone who dies as a result of suicide.
Right. Or anything else that might be sudden or unexpected.
I mean, there is all kinds of trauma. You know, people get hit by cars just in the prime of life.
Yeah.
And no one expects it, you know. And it's trauma.
It's trauma, and we all respond the same way, whether it's a crime or a suicide or a death in a car accident. Trauma is trauma is trauma.
Yeah. So again, the fundraiser is on the 6th of September. I'll be there co-hosting with a special guest. Let me see if I can guess who it is. It's Rocky Anderson. No, wait a minute. Let's see. It's Carl Malone.
Go a little more feminine.
A little more feminine. Mm-hmm. It's Carl Malone's daughter. No, I can't. I don't know. Actually, I do know. I'm just not going to tell you.
No, it's a surprise.
Join us on the 6th of September. It's at the Publix Coffee House. And if you want tickets or to find out more, you go to circle-the-wagons.org.
Oh my gosh, I love you.
Simple.
Yeah, simple. Yeah.
All right, Vicki Walker.
Yeah. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you. Thanks, Dick Clark, for producing the Let's Go Eat Show. Thank you to The Daily, 222 South Main Street, for letting us sit here and eat some delicious... Have some sandwich now, Vicki.
I'm going to.
She's having a BLT, which looks just absolutely stunningly
ravenous.
Delicious. Take a picture of that BLT before she bites into it, will you, Dick? Join us at The Daily.
Napkin.
We're here most Wednesdays or Thursdays recording stuff. If you wanted to stop by, that'd be great. You can just sort of watch if you want to do that. I think that's about all there is to say. Yeah, I thanked Dick Clark. I thanked The Daily.
Yep.
I thank you, Vicki Walker, and Circle the Wagons. circle-the-wagons.org.
.org. Yep.
Broadway Media is a producer of this show. I should say that. And it's too late to warn you that there may be explicit material in the show because it's over. I swore once.
Oh, my gosh.
So there is explicit material, but you already know that if you've made it through this far.
I maintained myself.
Yeah. Well, so now that you got it, you got to just use it. Go for it.
Well, I can only say shit so many times, or, you know, I just...
Flip.
I can't, fetch! All right, that's it. I'm going to finish my egg salad sandwich, which is delicious. Please, try The Daily. We're going now. I'm Bill Allred. Remember, if you're pouring drinks, always make mine a double.